गणानाद्वागणपतिकं भवामि कविं कवीनां कविसमस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पदानुशिल्पं कृतिभिस्वरिदातनम् ॐ महागणपतये नमः सदा बालरूपाभिविघ्नाद्रिहन्त्री पञ्चास्यमान्यां विदिन्दादिमृग्याभिलेषाभिधामे विदत्तां श्रियं कापि कल्याणमूर्ति स्थापक इति धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणे अवतारवरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् शरणागतदीनार्थपरित्राणपरायिणे सर्वस्यात्य हरे गौरी नारायणी नमोस्तुते कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणतक्लेशनाशाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः आपदाकर्तारं दातारं सर्वसम्पदां लोकाभिरामं श्रीरामं भूयो भूयो नमाम्यहम् Yesterday, we told about how the earth was sunk inside the ocean, and then the Lord Himself had to take the form of a boar, which is called the Varaha Avatar, in order to retrieve it from down below and to establish it in a firm base. And today they are going to tell something about how this Hiranyaksha was born. It has got a significance. Hiranyaksha was born to a sage called Kashyapa. In fact, the entire Srishti mainly, it came from Kashyapa only. It so happened that one day evening, Kashyapa was worshipping the Lord. He had several wives. Out of them, Diti was the one from whom all the asuras, the demons, were born. And Aditi was the one from whom the sun, Varuna, and all the gods were born. This Diti went to Kashyapa and told him, "Come on, I want to enjoy with you." Kashyapa told her, "Look here, evening is not the time for enjoyment between husband and wife. It is the time when the Lord Shiva himself goes in a round to visit the entire world, and it is the time for worship." See, what happens is, there are certain times when certain rays are falling on us from the moon, and certain rays are highly beneficial. So this evening is the time fit for worship of the Lord. He tries to argue with her, but Diti was not prepared to heed his words. And at last, he goes along with her and he enjoys. And as a result, he gets two sons. They were both were demons. The one was called Hiranyaksha, the other one was called Hiranyaksha. See, in all these, in Bhagavata and as well as in all the mythological works, the names are not simply not given in a haphazard manner. The names have got a significance. Hiranyaksha means the one whose eye is always on gold. Hiranya means gold. that is the man who is extremely greedy and wants more and more of money, more and more of gold, and he is called Hiranyakasipu. Hiranyakasipu means, Kasipu means the cot on which we sleep, and the cot was made of gold. In other words, he is called Bhoga Prakriti, while Hiranyaksha we call him as Lobha Prakriti. Lobha means greed and Bhoga means enjoyment. Hiranyakasipu wanted to enjoy life. So these were born, and every day they were growing beyond the normal height of a man. And then he tells how these people were born tall, these Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. Lord Vishnu had two sentries at the door of his world. The sentries were there to prevent any violent sundry from coming in to have the darshan of the Lord. And the two sentries were known as Jaya and Vijaya. Their names were Jaya and Vijaya. And see, when for a long time somebody is the peer to the minister, he begins to think that he is the minister. The same thing happened. They became somewhat arrogant. One day, the firstborn, the mentally created ones, the mental creations of Lord Brahma, who were born by birth they had spiritual realizations, God realization. Saraka, Sanandana, Sanatana, etc. They came to see the Lord, and Jaya and Vijaya, just he saw, they looked like small 5-year-old children. Hey, get out, you can't come here. With arrogance, they prevented them from going in. And as they were endowed with spiritual powers, they gave them a curse that they will be born in the world as demons. And just at that time, on hearing the altercation, the Lord Vishnu came from inside. And when he saw what had happened, he offered his profound apologies to those sages. I am very sorry that my chamberlains who are outside, they didn't know who you are and they have offended you. I am extremely sorry for that. I don't like anybody to offend my bhaktas, my devotees. And even if my own hand does some offense against them, I am prepared to cut off my own hand. Thus, and then he says, after all, they have been with me for a long time. So please, let them not be permanently demons. Give them a period where. Let them have 3 births as demons and then let them come back to me. And there were the people who were born as Ravana and Kumbhakarna in one age, and the other age they were born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. Like that, they were born 3 times. They were born. See, the point here is, even after we get our spiritual goal, we should always be humble. We should never get the arrogance of spirituality that I have had the realization of the Lord. That should not be there. And if that is there, the Lord can, even though, see, all the people who have come to Vaikuntha, who are there, all of them are realization source. Otherwise, they can't come there. So even Jain, which have a realization source only. But when they were so arrogant, by Lord's will, they can be once again entangled in the phenomenal world, in the Maya of the world, they can be again entangled. So that is why one has to be always careful. Whether he has got the realization or not, one should always be humble. So that is the lesson we get here. And now the story of Hiranyaksha, how he was killed by the Lord, it is going to come later on. Hiranyaksha came. Hiranyakashipu's his end is going to come in another skanda, much later. And now there are many creations, and in the beginning, first the creations were mental, that is Charaka, Sandana, etc. Then, from the body of the Creator, Lord Brahma, so many Mahatmas were born. The first one to be born was Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu was the first to be born, along with his wife. Both together, they came out of the body of Lord Brahma. Swayambhuvana's wife was called Shatarupa. Both together were created. Since then only, the creation where the habit of husband and wife creating a child, it began. Earlier it was either from the body or from the mental imagination of the Lord that they were being created. Now, this Swayambhuva Manu had three daughters. Out of them, one daughter, the second daughter called Devahuti, was ready for marriage. In those days, the creation was only a few people, some 10 people, 12 people, and they were dispersed over the entire earth. So nobody knew. So when Swayambhuva Manu was doing tapasya or penance, the Lord went and told him, Swayambhuva Manu, you take your daughter and go towards this direction, and there is another son of Brahma who came from a different part. His name is Kardama. He is doing a lot of tapasya and he has done a lot of penance. You go and give your daughter to him. That is what is ordained. And she agreed. And Swayambhuva Manu, along with his wife and along with his daughter, they started the chariot. And they went to Kardama. When another great king has come, Kardama gave him all the due respect and welcomed him, and then asked him what service he can do for him. When he told him that, I have come to give my daughter in marriage to you, I want you to marry my daughter. Kardama said, okay, but there is one condition. The condition is, atopajishe samayena sadvim యావత్తేజో అభిపర్యాద్ ఆత్మనోమి అథో ధర్మాన్ పారాంశ్య ముఖ్యాన్ శుక్ల ప్రోక్తాన్ బహుమన్యే అవీంశ్రాన్. Yes, I will be with my wife till such time as one son is born. When once a son is born, I am sorry, I will leave her. I will go away somewhere to do my further penance as a sannyasi, taking all the laws of a sannyasi, of a paramahamsa. So I want to get God. That's why. Ultimate aim. So I won't be with her. And if you are agreeable to this condition of my leaving her suddenly and going away when I get a son, well, I can marry your daughter. There's no problem. So this is not a decision which the father can take. This is a decision which the girl has to take. He looks at Devahuti and finds that Devahuti is prepared. On the contrary, she is also a divine lady. So she is very happy that she is getting a husband who is completely spiritually inclined and not world-minded. So she was very happy with that at that time. After all, this young girl, she didn't think of all the consequences. Then after marriage, when they were both in their cottage, the lady was serving him fully. Vidrubhyam prasthite sadhvi పదిమింగిత గోవిదాం నిత్యం పరిచర ప్రీత్యా భవానీ వభం బ్రహ్మం. When the parents have gone away, she was serving her husband morning to evening, just like as Parvati did for Lord Shiva. How there is a similarity between the two. When Lord Shiva, he was sitting in meditation, deep meditation, when he lost his first wife, Sati Devi, he was completely disgusted and he sat in deep meditation. He never opened his eyes and saw anybody, anywhere. At that time, daily morning, the daughter of Himavan, Parvati Devi, used to go and serve him. She used to keep flowers in the morning, take away all the old flowers, and then keep that house clean and neat. All these services she was giving. So even though Shiva never cared to look at her, but Parvati was very sincerely doing all these services. In the same way here, Kardava never opened his eyes. For 10,000 years, he was in deep meditation and penance. 10,000 years. And she never bothered. She was serving him. Then, when he got up, he saw his wife standing. She said, "Oh lady, don't worry. By these 10,000 years of tapasya, of penance, I am entitled to go to various other worlds where you can enjoy. So I am going to share all those worlds along with you." But Devahuti is not very happy. In these 10,000 years, she has become very old. Where is the question of enjoyment now? And then he understood, yes, the enjoyment which a husband and wife should have together, I never gave her. She wants it. Okay, I will give her. See, this is of course a mythological story, but much later, perhaps some 1,000 years back, there was an actual case. There was one great scholar, he was known as Vachaspati Mishra. This Vachaspati Mishra, from the day he was married, he was busy writing. The topmost Bible for the Advaitis, I told, for the non-dual philosophers, it is called Brahma Sutra. So he wanted to write a commentary on Brahma Sutra. And he was writing that commentary from night and day. He was not looking at his wife at all. And it so happened that one day the lamp went off. In those days there was no electricity. There was a kerosene lamp. The lamp went off. It was dark. Suddenly she found a hand with bangles, a lady's hand, came and lighted the lamp. He was horror-stricken. He asked her, "Lady, who are you at this time of the night? Who is there in my cottage?" She said, "Have you forgotten? You have married me. I am your married wife." Then Vachaspati Mishra realized that he has done a great injustice to his wife. For years he was busy writing this book. He has completely ignored her. Then he said, "Oh lady of the house, I am very sorry. I can't do anything about it. But in your honor, I am going to put your name for this commentary which I am writing. This commentary will be very well known all through the world." Her name was Bhamati. So he said, "This commentary will be known as Bhamati Vyakhya." Bhamati. So similar people had been there in the recent days also, who didn't bother about family life, and even while living as householder, they were completely merged in the spiritual life. Then Kardama, in order to satisfy his wife, he said, he created a beautiful aerial vehicle, just like an aeroplane, which can go in the air. It was completely fitted with all the entertainments required. Badminton, tennis court, whatever you think of, they were there. And a lot of parts, all the things were there. And then he told his wife, "Look here, here I have created a water tank, a talab. You go and take your bath and come back. Then we will see. You will see what I do." And she just started. Then from nowhere, some 40 to 50 servants in maid or ladies in waiting, they all came. They took her, they gave her a bath, and they were all having nice new ornaments and dresses. So they dressed her in those new clothes, they put on the ornaments on her body. And then when she came out, she saw Kardama was not old. Kardama was a young man. By his yogic powers, he has been able to convert himself into a young man, just as he converted her into a young lady. She was also a young lady, and Kardama was a young man. He said, come on, let us get into this aerial vehicle. And both of them, they got this aerial vehicle, they went to various worlds and enjoyed themselves for years. And then she had 9 girl children. She gave birth to 9 girl children. Then Kardama reminded her, look here, I have already put this condition to you that I will go away. When the first child is born, I will go away. Then she begins to weep. She says, you are not only leaving me alone, you are leaving me with 9 girl children. Who is to go and look for husbands for these 9 children? Where will I go? I am alone. So please, take into consideration. Yes, I agree that I had given my consent to your condition. But see the present condition and have some compassion on me. Then Kardama said, okay, your next child is going to be a boy. He's not going to be an ordinary boy. The Lord Himself is going to take an incarnation and be born in your womb as Kapil Rishi, sage Kapila. And He is going to propound and propagate a new type of philosophy called Samkhya philosophy. So when that boy is born, then I will be going away. At least temporarily, his going was postponed. She was happy. And after a few days, Brahma came there along with his Saptarshis, along with his seven children, who are all great sages. Marichi, Valaha, Valastya, Vasishta, Atri, such people. He brought them all and he told, Kardama, your 9 girl children, give them in marriage to these 9 sages. I want them to be the wives of all these sages. Give it to them. So he was happily married them off. And now, the next child was just born. It was Kapila. When the Kapila was born, when it was lying in a room, alone, Kardama goes and bows before it, prostrates before it, and then he says, Lord, somehow I am accustomed to go round and then do my sadhana. I can't remain in one place and do my sadhana, but I will keep you in my mind. You are not ordinary child, you are the divine child, you are the Lord Himself who has taken this form. So I will always keep you in mind. And I will be meditating on you, but I have to go away from here. The Lord gives him the permission, and Kardama goes away to the forest, as he had already put the condition. Now that your boy child was born and all the girl children have been married off. So he brought 9 rishis and 9 girls have been married. And after Kardama has gone, one day Kapila has grown Kapila was sitting in meditation. Devotee goes and prostrates before him, his mother, because she knows he is not my son, he is the Lord himself. He goes and prostrates before him. Nirvinna nitaram bhumanne asadindriya darshanati. Lord, I have realized it too late. I have been on the wrong path. The path of enjoyment in the world, all worldly enjoyments. I had a very nice, excellent husband. If only I wanted, he could have put me on the right path to the Lord. But I never wanted it. I wanted only the worldly comforts and the worldly happiness which he gave me. And as a result, now I am in darkness. I do not know where to turn. My age is also advancing. I am becoming old. So, he says, Tantvagataham saranam saranyam sabhritya samsara tarokutaram. You are the axe who will cut off this tree of worldliness, this samsara. So I'm surrendering myself to you. So please teach me. I bow to you. Please teach me the way to attain the Lord. Then the Sankhya Yoga of Kapila begins. There's a difference between the Sankhya Yoga, which is separately written in sutras, and the Sankhya Yoga which is promoted in Bhagavata. The Sankhya Yoga which is promoted in Bhagavata, it is completely based on bhakti, devotion. While there, see the Sankhya Yoga, here also he mentions it. According to them, see, we believe that ultimately there is only one reality. But they believe that ultimately there are two realities. One is the nature, the primordial nature, this is called the Prakriti, and the other one is the Lord, is the Purusha. It is not the Lord. They don't believe in any God. So it is the Atma. You may call it the Atma, Jivatma. So there is called the Purusha. So there is Purusha and Prakriti. Both are real, both are true. But the Purusha does nothing. He is simply sitting. But in his presence, it is the Prakriti which creates the world. It is the Prakriti which looks after the world and finally dissolves it. All these things are done by Prakriti. While what we say, we accept that there is a Prakriti, there is a nature. But we consider that Prakriti as a part of the energy of the Lord. It is not separate. It is a part of the energy of the Lord. So it is that comes as Maya also. So it involves us in the world and it also takes us out. So that is how we believe in it. As far as we are concerned, we think of only one final entity, the one reality who has become all. This is the main thing. Then he begins to teach her. Cheta khalvasya bandhasya muktaye chatmano matam gunesh saktam bandhaya ratam vapunsi muktaye. The key to getting out of the world, this samsara, and being successful in the spiritual path is your mind. It is the mind which makes you be involved in the world. It is the mind, when you take it out, you come out of this phenomenal world. If the mind, you involve it in the worldly objects, then it is going to bind you forever. Then accordingly you will do actions to get things, and these actions will have papa and punya. Again you will have birth, so birth and death will recur. On the contrary, if you engage your mind in thinking of the Lord, then you will reach the Lord Himself. Thus, it is the mind which is a steering wheel. You turn to the left, you go to the world. You turn to the right, you go to the Lord. And then, Aham mama abhimanottayi kamalobhadivirmali vidam yadamana shuddham adukham asukham samam. The only thing is, how to get out of the world then? The world is aham mama abhimana. That I did. Aham. And this is mine. This aham and mama. I, that mine. So both these things you have to leave off. If you can leave off this, then there will be no more desires. Who desires? From where the desire came? It is you, the I desires. I want a refrigerator. I want AC. So it is the I who desires. So this desires, greed, all these are the impurities. All these impurities come because of this I and mine. If only we rid ourselves of these two, this I and mine, and say, nothing is mine, nothing belongs to me, they all belong to the nature, then we'll be able to come out of this world. Then there is no other way except devotion to the Lord. Only through devotion to the Lord one can get out of this world. There is absolutely no other path to get rid of this world. Otherwise, again and again we will be having this cycle of birth and death, and we will have to suffer. In every birth we will be having sufferings, we will be having sorrows. All these things will come and trouble us. For that purpose, what to do? Prasangam acharam pasham atmanakavyo viduhu seva sadhushanuko mokshadvaram apavritam. If you get yourself attached to the worldly things, well, it will lead you to destruction. On the contrary, if you have all your attachment to the devotees of the Lord and go and remain in their holy company, well, then you will be able to get rid of this worldly tribulations, miseries, sufferings, sorrows, and all these things. You will be able to get out. Then Devahuti asks one question. You said we should go to the holy company of devotees. How do we know who is a devotee? Everybody looks like a devotee to me. So how do I know? What are the qualities of a devotee? Tithichava, karunikaha, sugada sarvadehinam. These devotees, they can bear any amount of sorrows, any amount of sufferings. They will not absolutely object to them. So this is called Titiksha. Titiksha has been defined little more in detail. That is, Sahanam Sarvadukhanam. Yes. all the dukkhas when they come, you should be able to bear it. That is the diksha. That is not the diksha. Then, apratika or apurvakam. When the sufferings come, you don't try to remove those sufferings. You suffer. So, you should not seek any remedy. Pratikara means remedy. So, apratika or apurvakam. Don't seek any remedy to take away those sufferings. You see, God has given. It's left to the God. He has got his own purpose. So, you don't bother. So, it's not a question of simply bearing with all these sufferings, but you should not search for any remedy. Further, the vilaparahita. Later on, you don't go and tell somebody, I don't know what of sufferings, but I managed somehow, I managed to bear them all. Don't tell anybody else. Don't go and going on telling everybody. So these are all essential. That is called sadhidrikshyeti gadyati. This is called dhikshya. So they should be full of that power to bear with all the sufferings. Tadrikshavaham. Then karunikaham. When people are in need or people are in trouble, they should be able to exercise their compassion. So people with compassion, that is one of the qualities of a sadhu or a holy man. This compassion is very, very essential. Then the next one is Sugata Sarvadehinam. They are not only the friend of men, they are the friend of reptiles, they are the friend of all small insects, they are the friend of serpents, they are the friend of lizards, like that. All the beings in the world, they are their friends. See, the 24th Guru or Tirthankara of the Jains, he was known as Mahavir Vardhaman. This Mahavir was going in a path, in a village. The villagers came and told him, "Oh Mahavir, don't go by this path. There's a big serpent there. Whoever comes, it bites them. It's ferocious. In fact, none of us go there." "Oh my Lord, then if none of you go there, then what sort of food did you be taking? So I have to go." So he goes by the same path. And the serpent comes ferociously to attack him and bites his toe in the foot. Then instead of blood, a lot of milk flows and the serpent drinks it to his full. Thus, This is the friendliness which they have to all. He said, "This has been lying for a long time without any food. So I had to provide food. So even though it has bitten him with a view to kill him, but we exercised his compassion and we had friendliness towards all these things. And thus he was feeding him milk." And Titiksha, how? There is a great devotee called Ekanath. Somehow the Jamindar of that village didn't like this Ekanath. Ekanath was a great devotee of the Lord, but somehow he didn't like him. So everybody was telling, "He has got a lot of tithiksha. You give him any suffering, he can bear it." So one day he called the Brahmin. He told him, "Look here. You go to the house of Eknath. You make him lose his temper. you make him lose his capacity for bearing the suffering. If you do that, I will give you 10,000 golden coins. He said, okay. So, this gentleman, he goes to his house. And that time, Ekanath was doing his puja in his puja room. Still, when there was a knock, he came to open the door. And this gentleman was there. He just pushed him aside and went directly into the puja hall. And with his booted foot, he just pushed aside all the gods which are there. Ekanath was not perturbed. He kept quiet. And then he demanded, I want food just now. He told his wife, come on, serve food. They served the plate and food was kept. And he began to eat. That lady was bending in order to serve him. Suddenly, she got up and sat on her back. She was bending, so she sat on her back. Then Ekanath told his wife, look here, the gentleman is sitting on your back. He may not fall down. Be very careful. Then that lady replied, hey, I have given birth to 8 children and they have all played with me in this manner. So don't worry, I'll be very careful. Then he got ashamed. He prostrated before him, begged forgiveness, and went away. These are all the devotees, the sadhus. Then Karnika, full of compassion towards all. Buddha was going somewhere. People told him, don't go by that path. They said, dacoit, he kills people, whoever comes. His name is Angulimala. He kills and then takes away his finger and put him in his mala, in his garland. He has got a garland of all fingers of all the people whom he has killed. Doesn't matter. He was going. He was going by that path. Angulimala said, hey, stop. Buddha told, look here, I have stopped long back. It is you who is still carrying on. You have not stopped. Then he says, who is this man who is fearless? Then he asked him, how is it you are fearless? Everybody is afraid of me. Then he teaches about Buddhism, and tells you that their cult is only to be always compassionate towards all. So I know that the world is ignoring you, so nobody can come near you. That's why I came. Then he becomes his devotee. That's how the story goes. So these are all the type of sadhus or holy men to whom you have to go. And what else they do, these devotees? Mayananya bhavena bhaktin kurvanti edrudam matkate tekta karmana tekta sajana bandhavam. They are doing ananya bhakti. They don't think of anybody else. Solely they concentrate on the Lord and they are loving him. After all, what is bhakti? Bhakti is extreme love. So they exercise an extreme love towards the Lord. And matkrite tekta karmana, in order to reach God, they have left off all their other duties. Other duties, say they are going to the office and earning money and looking after their family, everything they have left. And not only that, tekta svajana bandhava, they have left all their relatives, their wives, their sons, and they have come out. And they are the types of sadhus or the holy men. Madasya katamrita sinvanti katayanti cha. They are only dependent on me. They are not dependent on anybody else. And they always hear and also tell to other people the glories of the Lord and the stories about the Lord, the stories of the incarnations. And they always talk about the Lord. So, Tayate Sadhavasanti Sarva Sangha Vajjitaham. When you go into the company of such holy men, then all your attachment to all other things, they go away. That is the purpose of your attachment to sadhus and there is the devotees. And thus he says, then afterwards they do various yogas, whether it's Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, and then they reach the Lord. So they are the holy men. And then she asks him, what is bhakti? The bhakti is, he says, Mama Guna Gana Leela Karna Naihi Kirtana Dihi Maya Surasana Doga Prakshya Chittanurti. They go on hearing the various glories of the Lord and they also sing about it. And by doing all these things, their mind, from that just sort of an intense love towards the Lord, it is created. It flows like the Ganges water. Just how the Ganges flows during the season, the same way. So this is called the bhakti. And then he talks about Pragati and Purusha, how the Pragati creates, under the patronage of Purusha, it creates the world. But the Purusha gets entangled in it. It gets attracted by those creations. And again, by going on thinking of the 24 tattvas, the entire world is nothing. See, we are not to be concerned with the externals. You finally reduce each one and you will find each one comes to the 24 tattvas. That is, either they are made up of the panchabhutas, the five elements, and then they are made up of the tanmatras. Tanmatras means the qualities of those things. Now, earth has got a quality. Tatra gandhavati prithvi. So, the earth has got a quality of smell. Then, the space has got the quality of sound. So, like that, they have given what is called the tanmatras. So, then, what is called the five pranas. There is vyana, udana, samana. Like that, the five types of vital breath which we have. So all those things he talks about. And then he says, you go on thinking of the Lord, and what happens is, when once you reach one stage where you are really being, Dehancha tanna charama sthita muttitam vam siddho vipashyadiyato adhyavasatsarupam. The man who has attained the highest stage through that bhakti, she is not bothered about his body. She is not aware how he is. She is not aware whether there is any garment in his body or whether he is naked. Absolutely, he is not aware of anything. He is almost like Madhiravadandha, just like a man who has taken a lot of liquor and intoxicated. He is not aware of where he is going and what sort of dress he is having, whether he is naked. In the same way, The man who has reached the highest stage in spirituality is not aware of anything about his body at all. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was going in the streets of Calcutta along with 4 or 5 shishas. And he was going in that old Calcutta where there are a lot of number of small gullies, small lanes. And one lane will go into other lane, the other lane will go into third lane. So it is very difficult. It was like a labyrinth. When once you get in, it is difficult to come out. You don't know which is the way to come out. At that time, in some house, there is a song about the separation of Radha from Krishna. And Radha is singing. It was so nice. When Ramakrishna heard it, he wanted to go and hear it from nearby. He wanted to be very near to that. So he runs. He runs through several lanes and at last reaches the front of that house where from the song is coming. He is standing still. By that time, his disciples, they wanted to find him because he has run away. So here and there, they tried to find him. And at last, they reached the place where he was standing. And they were horrified to find he was standing. His dhoti had fallen somewhere else. The garment which was wearing on the lower part of his body, it had fallen somewhere else. And these people got annoyed. They said, "Thakur, this is not your village. This is a city. It's called Calcutta. You know that? And what sort of things you are having? Where is your dhoti?" Then Ramakrishna Paramahamsa answered, "You rascals, I am searching where is my body and you are asking where is my dhoti?" The answer. So that is the stage which they reach. He is telling how to purify the mind. Unless the mind is purified, the Lord will not come there. So how to purify the mind? Here he has given a lot of sadhanas. Madhishna darshana sparshan puja stutya bhivandani. Every day you keep the Lord statue there and daily you see that, daily you touch it. Daily you do worship, puja, and daily you do namaskar, daily you do prayers. Then it's not sufficient. Only God alone if you worship. Bhutesha madbhavaniyam sattvena sangamiyam. In all beings, you think it is the Lord who is there in every being. So, mentally, you should prostrate to all the people in the world, to all the beings in the world. This is also God. This is also God. Like that we have to. Then, Mahatam Bahumanyanam Jinanam Anukampayam. the when there are people who are elder to you, when they come, you just give them the due respect. And people who are down below in stature, in their status, you have compassion towards them. Maitra ce vatpatulyeshu, and people who are equal to you, you exercise friendship with them. Then shamena damena, you try to control your mind, try to control your senses, all the senses. Arjavena, it should always be straightforward. What is straightforward? Whatever you think, you will tell them. Whatever you tell, you will act accordingly. What happens? We are thinking something and we will tell something else. Say, somebody comes to my house, I don't like him. He often enough comes. But when he comes, say, oh, just now he is thinking, it is about 2 days since you have not come. I was wondering what has happened to you. So, we are not honest. So, this is called Arjava, just like a plain play. Mano Vakkaya, the mind, the speech and the body, they are one line. The body is action and the mind is thinking, thoughts, and then whatever you think, you talk the same thing. Then nirahankriya tatha, whatever you do, don't say aham, I did. So let the ahankara go away. You always say, it's all Lord's will, it has been done. I have nothing to do. It's all Lord's will. So let there be no question of aham there. And then important thing, aham sarvesha bhuteshu bhutatma vatirasaram tam avajnaya yamatyah kurute archavidambanam. He says, I am in all the beings and you disrespect them all. You treat them all in the most disrespectful way. And then you go to the puja room and do all your worship to the Lord. She says, this sort of worship to the statue, ignoring the world where the Lord is present in the form of all the beings, is not correct. So like that, he told her all these methods. And then, Devahuti heard them all. She was extremely influenced. She did again and again prostration to Kapila, and she went near one Bindusaras, it was a lake. So near that lake, she had a small kutia, a small cottage. So there, just in the same manner as he told, she was thinking of the Lord, and Kapila himself as the Lord according to her. So she was thinking of Kapila only, and thus finally she reached to the Lord. She left her body and reached the Lord. Now, with this, we have finished the third skandha. Now we are coming to the fourth skandha. This will start from tomorrow. In the fourth skandha, as I told, we are going to deal with the four motives of life. The four motives of life are dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That is, to follow the virtuous acts. Dharma is all virtuous acts. Then artha is wealth, position, money, all these things together, then kama is enjoyment. I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to have a refrigerator, I want to centrally air condition my entire house. So that is called the enjoyment. Then lastly, the one who wants God realization, that's called the moksha. So for each there is a story. For dharma they are going to tell the story of Daksha, where Daksha, he insults Lord Shiva and he conducts a very big sacrifice where he ignores Lord Shiva. He doesn't give him a place for worship. He worships all other gods but not Shiva. So as a result, he is finally destroyed. So how, even though he may do a virtuous act, like a fire sacrifice, but where you have not associated God with it, you ignore the Lord and then you think you can do the karma or the action and that alone will help you, you are sorely mistaken. So the next one is Artha. Dhruva was a small boy, so he is prevented from sitting on the lap of his father by his stepmother. She says, no, only my son can sit. If you were to be born in my womb, then you would have sit. No, you cannot sit on your father's lap. You are not entered the kingdom, you are not entered his lap. So he goes and does a lot of severe penance and gets the boon. He comes back. His father is very penitent. And so thus he gets what all he wanted by worshipping the Lord. Then for Kama, there is another story of Puranjana. And lastly, for Moksha, there is death. So for each, that's a story. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. For all of them, there is a story there. And this we have to do from tomorrow.